told you I'd give you the surprise of whether we're going to do Chagiga or Moed Katan first, because in all of the Talmudic orders, the last two Mesechtas in Seder Moed are Moed Katan and then Chagiga. Now, we've been working all along with the formula that the orders of the Mishnayos go by their size. So the larger Mesechtas are earlier, right? Shabbos has 24 chapters. Then you have Erevin with 10, then Pesachim with 10, then Yuma with 8, then Shkolim with 8, then Sukkah with 5, then Beitzah with 5, right? Then there are a few with 4, Rosh Hashanah, Tainus, Megillah. And then the last two with 3, there's a clear trend going on, right? So which goes first, Moed Katan or Chagiga? So all of the Talmudic orders and Mishnaic orders have Chagiga last. But I'm doing Moed Katan last. I'll tell you why. Because the Rambam says in his introduction to the Perish HaMishnah that every last Mesechta in every Seder connects to the first Mesechta in the next Seder. Now, that might ruin the order situation, right? But when I have two choices between two three-chapter Mesechtas, which is Moed Katan with 3 chapters, Chagiga with 3 chapters, I'd prefer to put Moed Katan at the end because the end of Moed Katan fits exactly very well with the beginning of the next Seder. The next Seder, which will begin next week, please God, starts with Yevamos, Seder Nashim. And Yevamos, the whole entire assumption of Yevamos is a tragedy. A man died without children. The whole Mesechta, it's a 16-chapter Mesechta. Of course, that's why Nashim begins with that. That's why Yevamos precedes Ksuvos. Ksuvos only has 13 chapters. So otherwise, what makes one more likely to begin than the other? Well, the fact is that Yevamos connects to Moed Katan because the third chapter of Moed Katan, which we'll learn Mitzvah Shem on Tuesday, is about the laws of mourning on Chol HaMoed, and therefore we the Mesechta ends with a general halacha of mourning, and that moves right into Yevamos, which is a mournful Mesechta. It's all about this poor man who died without children. Okay, so that means we're going to do Chagiga today, and therefore we start with the first Mishnah, which teaches the laws of Aliyah L'Regel, the laws of pilgrimages to Jerusalem. And before Jerusalem was built, well into 500 years into our stay in Israel, the holy city was mostly during that time in Shiloh, which is in the land of Yosef Ephraim. But before it was in Shiloh, it stood for a few years in a place called Gilgal, right? According to tradition, 14 years. And then Shiloh was destroyed by the Philistines in the beginning of the book of Shmuel. Then it moved to a city called Nov. And in Nov, when it stood in Nov, you could bring offerings in your own backyard. And you didn't have to be a Kohen. It's known as Heter Bamos. We'll learn more about that when we do Zvachim. And then it stood in a place called Givon. And then in Shlomo's reign, the official Ohel Moed moved to Jerusalem. Okay. But even when David was king and the holy city was Jerusalem and he brought the Aron there, the Ohel Moed, the place of sacrifice for let's say Korban Pesach or the main place for sacrifice was in a city called Givon. Okay. So that means that the tent of meeting, the sanctuary, stood in 5 places in our history. Gilgal, Shiloh, Nov, Givon, Yerushalayim. And after Jerusalem was destroyed, sacrifices ended. We don't bring sacrifices at all afterwards. So Maseches Chagiga is all about the laws of what we do when we go to Jerusalem for a pilgrimage. It tells us who has to come on the pilgrimage, who doesn't have to come on the pilgrimage, and what you bring when you go to a pilgrimage. You have to bring a korban Chagiga. The name of the Masechta is actually a type of a korban. Right? The Rambam has separate laws besides the laws of sacrifices. Is a separate section, the laws of Chagiga, what we have to bring on the holidays. Now, we already learned back in Zeroyim the connection of Bikurim to the holidays, which is why Bikurim is the last Mesechta in Zeroyim. It feeds right into holidays. It's brought on Shavuos. Shavuos is called Chag HaBikurim, the festival of the first fruits. and Bikurim are brought between Shavuos and Sukkos. If they're brought after Sukkos, you have till Chanukah to bring them, but you can't recite what's known as Mikra Bikurim, what we say in the Haggadah, starting with Arami Oved Avi. Okay, and the first parak also talks about other obligations like Olas Re'iyah, some other things that we have to bring. Again, depending on our wealth, the size of our household, how many people are going to be eating with us, and also how we can make up if we didn't make it up, if we didn't make it to the Yerushalayim at the beginning of the festival. Obviously, that's more of an inyan on Pesach and Sukkos, which is a whole full week, right? On Pesach, you can go home afterwards because the next holiday is 7 weeks later. But on Sukkos, there's another holiday coming up after Sukkos is over. It's called Shmini Atzeres. You might as well stay in Yerushalayim, right? So you don't go home at Chol HaMoed and then kind of have to come back for the next holiday. There are really four pilgrimages. There's Sukkos 1, Shmini Atzeres 2, Pesach 3, and Shavuos 4. But really, there are really, and I don't mean to say something fully controversial here, but there are really only two pilgrimages. Because what Shavuos is to Pesach, Shmini Atzeres is to Sukkos. They're both called Atzeres, and they both finish off the purpose of the holiday. Right? But that's more of an Indian... we can talk about it here, is that the purpose of the freedom of Pesach is the Torah of Shavuos. And the purpose of recognizing the universalistic message of Sukkos is to also appreciate the particularistic message of Klal Yisrael as is manifest on Shmini Atzeres, and these are deeper things that we can discuss now. The first parak in Chagig also talks about how you can make up for the festivals if you didn't make it in time, and the Gemara says an amazing thing that even applies to Shavuos. The whole week after Shavuos to bring certain korbanos as tashlumim, and that's why some shuls don't say tachanun the whole week after Shavuos. It's not our minhag, it's not the Shulchan Aruch's minhag, just because someone in the time of the temple didn't bring the korbanos on time. Okay, when he brings it 3 days later, he shouldn't say tachanun, but everyone else would. Today, no one's bringing the korban. Why should we refrain from tachanun? Because someone didn't bring a korban on time at the time of the temple. Doesn't make sense. Okay, the second parak talks about, is the most esoteric chapter in all of Tanakh, in all of Talmud. It's called Ein Dorshin, which is all the things you're not supposed to learn, unless you're learning it from a qualified Kabbalist or a Rebbe or someone who knows all of those things. Why is this in Chagiga? Because when we go on Aliyah LeRegel, we go to Jerusalem for a pilgrimage, where we're exposed to the inner sanctum and the inner secrets of God that stems from his footstool of the temple. Okay, that is the second parak. It's about very, very esoteric stories about Elisha ben Avuya and the four people who went up to the Pardes, up to the Shemayim, so that's all what chapter two is about. And then the middle of chapter two moves into what is arguably the most difficult protracted section of Talmud, which is about Tumah and Tahara, the sections of ritual purity, impurity. These are based on largely on some questions that Haggai, the prophet Haggai, asked about Klal Yisrael in chapter two. We'll have Bekiyas of Vishas when we're finished with all this. But the end of the first parak in Psachim, the parak Or Vaharotev, the 12th parak of Maseches Chulin. Tumas Ochlin and the Daf Chav Tes and the Seches Sota have very, very difficult, Gemaras about the transmission of impurity, especially to food products. And that's especially what we need to know in Chagig. If I'm going to Aliyah LeRegel, I have to know how to maintain my necessary ritual purity because I'm going to a very holy place. Masechta ends describing the vessels and the furnishings of the temple, especially the shulchan, the table that kept the breads fresh all week. And they showed off the breads that when the Kohanim came to take them on Friday for the new Mishmar, it was just as fresh as when it was put there the previous week when it was brought after the last Mishmar left. Okay, that is the Maseches Chagiga. We'll continue Mirtz Hashem on Tuesday with Moed Katan to close out Seder Moed and move on the same week to the next Seder. And Hakol B'Seder for us. And let's have a wonderful day. Everybody stay strong. And we'll, as we plow through Mishnayos. Have a wonderful day, everybody.